Our Father, again, we thank you that in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, we can come into your presence, and we rejoice in that. We pray now as we think on your word. Holy Spirit, we invite you to help the one who speaks and those who listen to hear your voice. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. It's been an interesting couple of days facilitating an online course right now, and this week I had an assignment, 4 hours alone with God, and it's just amazing. It's just fun to kind of be in the front row and just to read what they're doing in their lives, and someone to say, you know, I don't understand. Why do I have to have an assignment before I take this special time to be with God? That's a good question, isn't it? You know, it's kind of like we have memorial services sometimes. We meet old friends and say, why do we have to have a funeral service to get together old friends? Like, why do we do this? And but sometimes this process, one of the students said, opening line was, why did I have to have this assignment this week? Because I got so much to do, and I'm just I just want to do this assignment. They began with frustration, and they ended in gratitude. It's the way that God works. Oftentimes, God does unexpected things in our lives. Sometimes we don't feel like doing something, like going to church. Heard this story about this one morning. This guy heard his mother's voice saying, get out of bed, time to go to church. And the response, I'm not going to church today. And the voice came the second time, get out of bed, time to go to church. I'm not going to church today. I don't want to go to church today. I go to church and no one talks to me and no one listens to me and I'm not going to church today. Third time, mom came up and yanked the covers back and said, son, get out of bed, you're going to church. I'll tell you two reasons why. Number one, you're 40 years old. And number two, you're the pastor. Wasn't me. Yeah, that's just a story. But sometimes we do engage in things we don't feel like doing, but then it comes out good. Right now, if you're a football fan, camps have just started, training camps, and I guess they're brutal. And they go through a series of disciplines, of exercise that are just grueling. But one coach said, we make men do things they don't want to do so that they can do what they want to do. And it pays off. And sometimes we do things we don't feel like doing, but it's helpful for us in the process. Now, we're doing a little series here on spiritual formation. Begin just a review very quickly. Back in Proverbs 4, watch over your heart with all diligence. It's the wellspring of life. And spiritual formation is about the heart. And understanding from this passage and others that life is lived from the heart. And so we've been thinking the past few weeks about how does God work? How is our hearts formed and transformed and changed? What are the processes involved? We define spiritual formation this way, that is this, that spiritual formation or the transformation is the grace-driven, that's almost an oxymoron, grace-driven, but it's the grace of God that pulls into processes. It's the grace of God that energizes us. It's the grace of God that does the transforming. And we're into a process, a change going on. No one's arrived. It's an ongoing process of being conformed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent of change. We simply avail ourselves to Him through the different processes, and God works. Taking 4 hours to be alone with God doesn't make you holy, but God meets you in that process. He's the one who does that work. And the goal is to be the image of Christ, to be Christ-like. And it's for the glory of God, but also for the wealth sake or the blessing of those around about us. So spiritual formation is not just a me and God thing, but it's for the community, it's for the church. And as I'm formed and transformed, it has great benefits to the whole body of Christ, and most importantly, brings honor and glory to Him. Now, just a quick review. We've been looking at this definition of how the heart works. And so we began by thinking of the three major heart functions that are shown here in the middle. The heart has a thinking function. The heart has a decision-making function. The spiritual heart has emotions. It emotes. It has feelings. And so part of transformation and spiritual formation is work with our thinking. And we get to choose the things we think about. That's an amazing freedom. People can compel us to do things physically sometimes, but in our minds, We get to think we want to think. Many years ago, we had a young gal that came to Christ, actually one Thursday, and because it was in a foreign country, and because her dad was a Muslim, when she went to school on Saturday then, she had to go to Muslim classes. And the teacher had found out she had professed Christ, which wasn't pleasing. So he had her come before the whole class, stood beside his desk, and for a solid hour, he ridiculed her and railed on her about becoming a Christian. She is like 2 days old in the Lord, okay? And so she's standing there, taking all this abuse from this professor, and we said, well, what did you do? And she said, I just thought about Jesus and smiled. I just thought about Jesus. That was her choice, what she thought about. In our thinking, we have tremendous freedom to think. So as we learn to think on things that are true and pure and lovely, things of excellent value and virtue, Philippians 4:8, begins to transform our thinking, and then that informs our decision-making. And we talked about different things that help us make good, sound spiritual decisions, and then how we manage our emotions. We've got a couple weeks ago, we talked about that. Then last week, we did it with the those are internal things. Those functions of thinking, those functions of decision-making, feelings, emotions, they're from within. It's an internal transformation takes place. However, as we all know, what's inside, what? Comes out sooner or later. And so that's expressed through social relationships. We talked about this last week. And we really had that concept going on is that, you know, we express the heart in social relationships. We had that whole list of things we do for one another, commandments, serve one another, love one another, edify one another, pray for one another. Those things we do that expresses the heart, but it also works that serves to transform the heart as well. As we are obedient to Christ, it expresses Christ through our lives, and it also impacts our hearts. So the expression that also impresses social relationships, they work in a very positive way in our lives. So today we're moving to this last one, to think about the physical body. And some just thoughts about the physical body. You got some notes there in your little sheet that'll be helpful for you to follow along. So we begin by looking at just some verses about the body. You're probably mindful that there's been in the past, actually in the first century, there's a lot of influence by a philosopher named Plato. And he had taught that the material part of man is really basically worthless, is unredeemable, and that it's the spiritual side that counts. And this is totally refuted by Scripture. The very fact that Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us, it says something very strong. And the body, it was not, is not, as he philosophizes, is not evil. The body is just, it's a body that God's made. And we want to look at some things about the body. So here's some passages. Psalm 139. David wrote this. For you formed my inward parts. You, God. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was skillfully wrought, actually I embroidered in the depths of the earth. Do this. It's kind of crazy. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, they're trying to reproduce robotic hands, and it's just like so difficult. But you can. Something up here says, move fingers, move. And they're moving, and they can grip, and they can hold, and they can. Oh, it's an amazing thing. That's just one little thought about the body being fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, I can feel. You can feel in your fingers. There's feeling. There's touch. Amazing what you can do with these hands. And we sang that song earlier. Take my hands take my feet, take my, it's all body. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Bottom line is this, our physical bodies were marvelously designed by God. And I was thinking this past week about Adam and Eve. Do you think Adam was tall and blonde? Or was he really short? Dark-skinned or light-skinned? I mean, we don't know. But we do know this. Adam and Eve were fearfully and wonderfully made. And God does not make junk. And sometimes we see a person that is born with, we call deformities. God's at work. Just in a different design. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's about the body. But Romans chapter 12, in the context of Romans, he's gone through the fact that we're sinful and that Christ died for our sins, by faith we're saved, and just, you know, all that God has done. But after he's gone through what God has done, he says, therefore, because of this, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It's not just about the spiritual things. Present your bodies. And here's the point of this, is that our bodies can serve as a living sacrifice to the Lord. They have meaning. They have purpose. They have significance in God's economy. That's amazing, isn't it? The body does matter. The body has value. And the body has a huge impact, as we'll see, in our whole spiritual life and development. But more than that, 1 Corinthians 6, it says this, do you not know? Do you not know what? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. The body, fearfully and wonderfully made. Look in the mirror. Say, yeah, that's scary. No. the shapes and all that kind of stuff. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And that body can be presented to God as a living sacrifice. And that body is the dwelling place. It's our bodies are the home for the Holy Spirit if we're Christ followers. When we believe in Jesus Christ and trust Him as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence within us. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. There's a whole sermon here. I mean, just think about this. Think about when you move into a neighborhood, do you realize that God's just moved in that neighborhood? Because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. It's a part of the triune God. And so we're indwelt. He lives here. The Holy Spirit of God could choose to live any place He wants to live, but He has chosen to live in the bodies of Christ's followers. That's a sacred trust. And it says the responsibility you see in the verse. Because your body is indwelt by the Holy Spirit as a Christ follower, therefore glorify God in your, what? Glorify God in your bodies. The home of the Holy Spirit. Then one more passage to look at in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline, back to this body thing, is only of little profit. But when it says a little profit, it means what? There is some profit, okay? But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise for the present life and for life to come. But there is a value in some physical disciplines that are there and spiritual disciplines. So bodily disciplines have some value, and that's all those stuff on the front side, but you can turn over now on the back side because, well, I've got some notes here from additional things you want to talk about. So Again, to go back to last week, just in a quick review, that we looked about social relationships and discovered that the heart is expressed through social relationships. It flows out, but also the heart's impressed by social relationships. It's a symbiotic relationship between the being and the doing. They feed each other. Now, we see the very same thing as we think about the body, how it works, because it's very parallel to that. So here's the heart. With the heart, we think, we make decisions, we emote, we have feelings. And that heart is embodied. It's in a physical body. And there is a relationship. Again, as the heart is expressed through the body, the things that we do, our love for someone, our love for God, it can only be expressed through the body, right? That's how we do it. If you love somebody and you want to have that relationship, express that love, how do you show love? What are expressions of love? Hugs. Words, you use your lips, you speak. Prayers, and you must speak, use it to pray. You do things for them. You might carry something for them, or fix something for them, or do something with your hands for them, serve them some way. But those are things that are in the heart to express love, and it's done through the body. It expresses what's inside. But also, as with the social relationships, it also impresses. The things that we do in our body impress us. For example, let's look at one here. Let's take worship. Now, worship, again, like expressing love, how do we worship God? We sing. That's using the lips and the voice. That's physical, correct? How else do we worship God? We pray. We have some expressions of worship or prayer. You know, folding of hands, raising of hands, kneeling, laying prostrate before the Lord. Those are physical things we do to express worship. I love you, Lord. We use our lips. We articulate. That's how we express our worship. But as we're expressing it, it's also, as we're in worship, it's also impressing us. When Evelyn and I were first married, we lived on a ranch, and we were 20 miles away from an old church that had an evening service. And you know, there wasn't really much social pressure because we're a long ways away from town, and so if we didn't make it, you know, it's okay. But there was many Sunday afternoons, you know, we had a little pond beside our little place there. We'd swim, and, you know, I don't feel like going into town tonight. I get cleaned up and go in, and I don't feel like, well, we should. Okay, well, I don't feel it. We'd go, and every time we went, it was like, man, we could have missed this. Because as we were there, and we were part of singing praises to God and hearing God's word, we were expressing worship, but also in that process, our heart was being nurtured. We were being impressed. It was changing us. You know, sometimes maybe we don't feel like going to corporate worship times. But when you go and you hear, I mean, like, you hear things that people say. I mean, last week, Bill talked about this doxology of watering flowers and singing doxology. And someone mentioned that this morning, and I thought about it this week. That's such a small thing, but with a big implication. Someone just talked about hearing the words of praise and stories and how it impacts our lives as we sing songs. You know, songs teach us so much about our God. And as we sing, we're expressing, but also the words are impressing. Probably this morning, there was one song or one phrase from one song that kind of really gripped your attention. You probably carry it throughout the week. Maybe one thing somebody else said, but that's expression and impression. How does that happen? Well, it's through the body. Or take Bible study. Okay, we're to study the scriptures. Well, how do you study the Bible? What do you need? Well, if you're going to study the Bible, you have to kind of pick it up and open it up, right? This is a body part. hold it. I read it. That's eye part. Maybe I listen to it, ear part. Maybe I take some notes on it. So that's a physical activity. You must be proactive. You can take a big Bible and put it under your pillow at night and have a sore neck the next morning, but you won't be more spiritual, right? It doesn't work that way. It's by study. And that involves the body. So all we're trying to, maybe this is kind of like, everyone knows this, but not everyone does know this, is that there's sometimes an adverse feeling about the body, and how does it fit in? Well, it expresses our heart for God, and the body is used to impress the heart for God and does a great work. Therefore, there's things we do in our spiritual lives that are very, very significant with our bodies. Give me a couple examples here. Bodily habits that impact the spiritual heart. Sleep. Remember our friend Elijah? Had this Mount Carmel experience and had a confrontation with 400 prophets of Baal. And what a day. I mean, they build these big altars and the prophets of Baal, they dance around and try and get the fire to come down and nothing happens. And then Elijah, he stacks up the wood and puts a lot of water on it. And there's a lot going on here. And he prays to God. It's consumed. Wow, what a day. You've got to imagine there was a lot of emotional energy came out of Elijah, right? I mean, this was trying. I mean, this was harsh. And so right after that, Elijah gets a little love note from Jezebel, the queen, and says, I'm going to kill you. And so Elijah, what does he do? He runs. He runs way out in the desert, runs like crazy, and lays down and says, Lord, let me die. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. If you wanted to die, you should have stayed there because Jezebel would be glad to accommodate you, right? But there he is. This man of God who called down the fire from God, who spoke for God, who was used by God, he was mighty for God, he was a strong believer in God. He wants to die. His spirit is drained. What did he do? He laid down and he slept. Then the angel came and woke him up and fed him. That's where angel food cake comes from, by the way. Not really. And that, again, for 3 days, all he did was eat and sleep. And then what? He's ready to go. He's recommissioned. He goes on. That physical rest was a part of what was necessary to rekindle his spirit, to change his heart. In Mark chapter 6, the disciples, they go out and they've been having a fantastic time preaching and healing and doing great things. Then they come back and they're all excited and Jesus said, let's go away and rest a while. Let's go ahead and rest a while. We know that sleep and rest has a tremendous impact on our emotions and on our thinking and our decision making, right? And since decision making and emotions and thinking are part of the heart and part of heart transformation, then whatever impacts that part of our spiritual heart has an impact on our spiritual formation or transformation, and rest and sleep is a part of it. Now, how much sleep do you need? Well, different people need different amounts. I heard a guy recently, he said he got married and been married for a short time, and he told his wife, I'm going to call the doctor and have an appointment made for you. There's something wrong with you. So what do you do? Well, you sleep like 9 hours. So well, that's what I always do. That was her need for sleep. Some people have 4 hours. Some that's not a comparison game. It's how God has fearfully and wonderfully made our bodies. Some need more sleep than others. But it's up to us to find out, as we seek the Lord, how much sleep, how much rest do I need? So that's one part. So our care for our body and sleep and rest is a part of spiritual formation. Exercise. It's not a dirty word, okay? It's a good thing, exercise. Different exercise things, different people. But again, that's a part of it because it helps keep the body alert and sensitive. Emotions are affected by exercise, the lack thereof. Thinking processes. It's just important for us to exercise. That's a part of it. It gets worse. Diet. That's a part of it, right? I mean, it's not even arguable that we know that certain foods have an impact on our emotions, which impacts our spiritual life, our spiritual heart, right? And so too much or too little of certain foods has a huge impact on the body. So diet becomes significant. My rest, my exercise, my diet, those have an impact because the body is impressing the heart as the heart is expressed through the body. It's that symbiotic relationship. They feed each other. And so part of being a spiritually healthy person is having some proper care for the physical body. Another one is just put down here, the use of discretionary time. If you're still in the work world, you have 8, 10, 12 hours a day when you're kind of told what to do, right? But then we have discretionary time. Time we are free to choose what we want to do. In the old Greeks in the first century, they thought the most important thing, part about life, was what they called the skoule. Our word school comes from that. And skoule was what you did in your non-work time. They called work non-skoule, stuff you had to do. But the reason you went to work was so that you could have some time for skoule, for meditation, reflection, for thinking. That was the most important thing. We kind of have that turned upside down in our way of our thinking. Our job's not the most important thing. But what do I do? What do I work with in my discretionary time? What can I do in times when I don't have to be doing certain things that will be edifying and encouraging to me? Quite a few years ago, we did some vacations. And we came back really tired. Got to come home and rest up from being on vacation. What's something wrong with that? We began to think, well, what are we doing with that discretionary time? Made some adjustments to use it in a way that really would benefit and nurture the heart and the soul. It's important for us. This last one is one that, let me ask you a question. What's the last thing that God created? Humans? What is it? 6 days he made heaven and earth and then humanity, but then on the seventh day, and I really think he created Sabbath, the day when he stopped to rest, and honoring Sabbath. And there's a lot about this. Several years ago, I got really sick and tired of students being sick and tired. I'm so tired, Prof. Well, I began to think about the Sabbath, and that need for a Sabbath rest, and there's a lot of ways to package that. But a need to stop, to refresh, to renew. And it may be on Saturday or Sunday or whatever day, but the seventh day principle of having time to stop and to rest and to be refreshed. And that may be a vital part of the care for our bodies, which has an impact on our hearts. Just a thought to chew on. If you want, I have a whole lecture on Sabbath if you want to hear it someday, but anyway, not today. Bottom line is this, Lord, what would you have me to do with my body that would positively impact my heart, my spiritual heart? So we can talk about general principles, you know, as a group, but each one of us has to be before the Lord and say, well, Lord, what can I do, what should I do with my physical body that would have a positive impact on my heart? And you and I both know there's things we do that have a, you know, it drains our spirit, it drains our vitality. Lord, what would you have me to do? So our goal for the week, if you will, is that to bring that before the Lord. What should I do? What should you have me to do? And what habits need to be cultivated? It's not just about doing those things, just to do them. It's for a purpose. Because watch over your heart with all diligence. It's the wellspring of life. And if I want to watch over my heart, then I got to work with my thinking and my decision-making and my emotional processes, functions of the heart. I need to work with the social relationships around the body because they impact my heart. And with the body. It's not everything. It's not the most important thing, but it is an important thing for us. Lord, what would you have me to do with my body that positively impact my heart for your glory and for my well-being, for the blessing of those around about us? Our Father, we thank you that we are, as you have said, fearfully and wonderfully made. This whole physical body, it's just amazing, God, how it works, how it heals from cuts and wounds, and how bones can mend, and all those things, and the ability to see and to hear. God, just awesome what you've made. And we thank you that you have chosen to embody our spiritual hearts in these bodies, and that we can express what you've put into us through our bodies. And we would pray, Father, for a conviction that's needed to do better caretaking of the body, for encouragement in the process. Lord, help us to appreciate what you've given to us and to be good stewards of our bodies. For the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray, amen.